Greetings, everyone. This is Keith and Karina coming to you once again from the great state of Pennsylvania. Today, we're going to start a new series on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I know it's going to be really good because this is really the foundation to what we've been talking about in the past series on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Because without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there really is no gifts of the Holy Spirit. And of course, before we start, as is my custom, I'd like to introduce my lovely and beautiful, wonderful wife, Miss Norga Karina.
Hi, everyone. May the Lord continue to bless you. What a beautiful privilege to be able to talk about this amazing person, the Holy Spirit. I was just talking to my mom not too long ago, about the Holy Spirit, and we were stating, both of us, that every time we speak about this beautiful person of the Godhead, we just have this tenderness, this extra sweetness, because the Holy Spirit is so amazing. So now that we're going to be talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I know that this is again going to have such an amazing, powerful impact. I am serious. All of these podcasts are important and they have been amazing, but I'm telling you, I know that sharing the truth about the baptism of the Holy Spirit is truly going to change not only a person's life, the listener, but even those around you, and if possible, even your generation. So let's begin.
Amen, sweetheart. What I want to start out with is a kind of, what you say, a prelude or preview of what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is like from the Old Testament. You know, it's not exactly the same, but it's very similar, because what we have in the New Testament is believers receiving the Holy Spirit to come and dwell within them. In the Old Testament, the servants or people of God that God used was only a few and far between, you know, in the sense of he didn't anoint everybody with the Holy Spirit in the Old Testament. It was the kings and the priests and the prophets primarily, and judges, that he anointed to do special tasks. So the anointed would come upon them to do things, and sometimes extraordinary feats. And with the New Testament, when Jesus died and rose again from the grave, he gave the Holy Spirit to the people, not only to be with him, but also to be in him, right. So that the power was within them. But at the same time, we're going to talk about the difference between the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, and we'll get into that. I'm not so sure we'll get directly into that in this first podcast here, because I do see this as a series, and it probably won't necessarily go as long as the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but I know, you know, it's going to at least be a couple or more.
Sounds good.
So we're going to start with the story of David.
All right.
In the Old Testament.
Love that story.
David and Goliath.
That's right.
Now, we're going to start back here with what God had done to anoint David. See, a lot of people say, well, God had called David and he anointed him with the Holy Spirit to be able to defeat Goliath. But exactly what exactly did he do? Or how did that even come about that allowed him to be able to do that? Was it simply just God's choosing, or was there something else to that? Well, so we start back here in 1 Samuel chapter 16. And it's the backdrop to the story is that God had called and anointed Saul to be king of Israel, but Saul had failed to obey God, and he ended up having, you know, the kingship taken away from him, and it was given to David. But before it was given to David, here's what it says in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1. It says, "Now the Lord said to Samuel," who is the prophet, "how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons."
Amen.
And Samuel said, "How can I go? If Saul hears it, he will kill me." But the Lord said, "Take a heifer with you and say, 'I've come to sacrifice to the Lord.' Then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one I named to you." So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem. And the elders of the town trembled at his coming and said, "Do you come peaceably?" And he said, "Peaceably. I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice." Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, "Surely the Lord's anointing is before him." But the Lord said to Samuel, "Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." And that's an interesting side note to take here is, you know, Samuel was the prophet of God to the nation of Israel, and he made the mistake of thinking that Eliab, right, the firstborn, was the one God was going to anoint because, right, of his stature, his good looks, you know, his height, mm-hmm, and all that, and probably being the firstborn.
Exactly.
And yet God said, "Nope, he's not the one that I've chosen."
But it's good also to state that thankfully he was so sensitive to the voice of God, because doesn't that happen to us, right, that sometimes we because of our own emotions, we're, you know, misconceived, we have an erroneous opinion. But how wonderful that God is always present and willing to correct us and guide us. But we have to be sensitive to his spirit. The voice of God should always trump ours.
Amen, sweetheart. That's beautiful. Yeah, absolutely. You know, because we are human just like everyone else. Right. And we can make the same mistakes.
That's right.
Looking at things from the natural. And it's, mm-hmm, we got to be real careful with
that's
that, you
right.
know.
That's right.
Okay, so as reading on, we see here, it says in verse 8, "So Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel. And he said, 'Neither has the Lord chosen this one.' Then Jesse made Shammah pass by. And he said, 'Neither has the Lord chosen this one.' Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, 'The Lord has not chosen these.'" Now imagine this. Seven of his sons, from the oldest to what was the youngest of the seven.
Right.
And no, these are not the one. And then Samuel said to Jesse in verse 11, "Are all the young men here?" Then he said, "There remains yet the youngest, and there he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one."
Wow.
Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose and went to Ramah. Well, let me read verse 14. That might be important as well. "But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and a distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him." Anyway, so backing up here, let's make a couple of notes here. In addition to what you just said, sweetheart, you know, about us being careful not to allow our own thinking to get in the way of things. You know, we have our thinking, you know,
right.
We start with that, and we present it to the Lord in prayer, and then we look to the God to reveal to us whether what we're thinking is coming from him.
That's true.
You know, and here Samuel basically is doing the same thing. He doesn't know, because God said, you know, he said back in verse 2, 3, and 4, he said, "I'm sending you," you know, he said in verse 1, he said, "For I have I'm sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I've provided myself a king among his sons." But he didn't tell him which son it
which
is.
One.
Right? And then he says in verse 3, then invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one I name to you. So he's telling him, I'm going to name him to you, but I'm not telling you now in advance. So I think this is important to also emphasize in this first podcast on this series, is that God will oftentimes give us little clues, steps, you might say, a little part of the puzzle of what he's wanting us to know or do, but yet not the full picture.
That's true.
And we have to trust him by faith. You know, we can talk about that. I think there can be a series on that about, you know, walking by faith and not by sight. Because oftentimes we say faith is, you know, the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen, as it says in, you know, Hebrews 11:1. But what does that mean in terms of practical application in our daily life? And here's a good example. Samuel is told to go to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, and it's going to be one of his sons that I'm going to choose. And he doesn't say. So he has to go through the process to go through all these sons. And, of course, Jesse's going to bring out the oldest one first and down to the last. And the fact is, I find it very interesting here that Jesse did not even consider David. Was not that his son? Surely that was one of his sons.
Of course.
And he didn't have other servants that could have watched the sheep?
Right.
It had to be that David, something was up with his relationship with his brothers and with his father, that he wouldn't even be considered to bring him in.
But well, God knew him.
But God knew, you know. And then, not only that, when Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, could you imagine how the brothers had felt?
I can't, actually.
Especially the oldest.
That's right. That's right.
And it says here that Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. That's an important part of what I'm going to share in this series. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. That's a powerful thing. Now, we know, and we're not going to go into this in this next several verses, you know, this chapter, about how Saul's distressed, and they called for one, and David came, and he played music and calmed his spirit, and the evil spirit departed.
Right.
And that was part of the anointing that was on David, you know. But we're going to get into the next chapter about the battle, you know, with Goliath.
You love that story.
And so we're going to move forward to that. Verse 8, I think, is where we're going to start at. Because in chapter 17, it's the Philistines, you know, verse 1 says, Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle and were gathered at Socoh, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Socoh and Ezra in Ephes-Damim. I can't know if I'm pronouncing these words correctly. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah, and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on a mountainside, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side with a valley between them. And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in span. Some say that's about 9.5 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had a bronze armor on his legs. He had bronze armor on his legs and bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of the spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and a shield bearer went before him. In verse 8, when I want to point out here, verse 8 and 9 and 10, he says, then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all the Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Isn't that amazing?
What a story.
Now, David was a son. You know, I don't know if I want to quote all that because I wanted to get to a certain verse down here. But basically, he was sent out by his father to go see to his brothers and bring them some food, right? And see battle, right? But he didn't go on his own initiative. He was sent down there, right?
Yes.
And he hears about what's going on. He sees what's going on. And he asks, you know, what would be done for the man who kills this giant, right? And he's speaking these words, and his oldest brother, Eliab, hears all this, right? And it says here in verse 28, now Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the man, and Eliab's anger was aroused against David. And he said, why did you come down here, and with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle.
There's no battle.
Right, well, there was no battle, right? Because they're all afraid to fight.
That's right.
They're afraid to go out against, you know, and it's a natural fear. You see, this guy's almost 10 foot tall, mm-hmm. and he's a champion. He's never lost a battle. And yet Eliab says his anger was aroused against David. Why was that? Why? I think it goes all the way back to that day that Samuel anointed David in front of all his brothers.
That's right.
And especially with him being rejected.
And you know, and it's a good lesson also on the other end. For example, as you mentioned, that there must have been such a friction, and that's still an understatement, after David was anointed. So if he already was not seen with much appreciation, respect, or value, we can't even imagine now what happened between him and his brothers, right, with this. But I love what we see here with David, and it's that regardless of the relationship or what's going on with other people, you know, treating him not right, he is obedient to his father. And I love that because, you know, there is a promise to children, sons, daughters who honor their parents. And of course, as long as, you know, it's the right thing. He honors his father by bringing over food for these brothers that are not treating him very likely good. And because of this, he did not miss out on the greatest story of his story.
Amen. Yeah, this story goes down in history.
That's right.
You know, and if they would only known. Mm-hmm. You know, and
he could have said, like, you know, no, why me? You know, they don't like me. No, forget them, right? I'm not going to do this for them. Take food. Forget them. And let his emotions trump over God's writing, already ordering his path, right? So praise God that he had an obedient heart to his father and also to God the Father.
That's a good point that you're making, sweetheart, because mm-hmm. how many times have I even felt, you know, myself personally, just, you know, mm-hmm. Talking about some past things, you know, where somebody doesn't like you or several people, and you just feel like, well, you know, just forget it. Let someone right. else do it.
Right.
You know, and perhaps maybe there's somebody listening mm-hmm. to this podcast now, and you're in that same position right now. God's calling you to do something.
Right.
And you know it. But yet all the naysayers are saying, you know, we don't like this guy. Why would God choose him? He can't be he or her. It could be a woman or a girl
right.
or a boy. You know, God is no respecter of persons or age. He called That's Jeremiah right. when he was yeah. a youth. He said, don't say I'm a youth.
That's true.
You know, because I've anointed you and I called you. And I called you from your mother's womb. So mm-hmm. it isn't about age. You're never too old. You're never too young. And God doesn't care about sex, you know, whether you're a male or a female.
Gender.
You know, he will use anybody if you will be obedient to serve him. So don't let those things hold you back, you know, because, you know, what's one of the worst things you're going to feel is, you know, the regret of having not done what God has called you to do.
That's right.
After years gone by and you don't do it because you allowed other people's opinions to get in the way.
Yeah.
So don't let that happen to you. So anyway, that's a little side note there.
Right.
I just felt like we should add, because David was the least of his brothers, not even invited
that's
to the sacrifice, not even considered a candidate.
That's amazing. That's amazing. A good thing that Samuel knew that God never makes mistakes, because God said one of his sons. And in this father, Jesse, had brought all his sons, supposedly, right? Good thing he said, wait a minute, God is never wrong. He said one of your sons. Don't you have more? God is always right. But I also wanted to add to the previous comment about not missing out opportunities. Sometimes, and I was sharing a little bit with my mother about this, sometimes we say, you know, I just don't hear God talking to me. I don't feel that God is saying anything right now. But it's sometimes we have to, you know, ask the Holy Spirit, is there something that you already said to me that I haven't done? Because sometimes we're waiting for God to speak to us something else, but the previous thing he asked us to do, we still haven't done that. So really important, you know, for us to say, wait a minute, Lord, is there something else, something that I haven't done? You asked me, you know, 10 years ago to forgive that person, and I still haven't done that. And here I am still waiting for another word. So it's important for us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And he will guide us step by step, but let us not neglect obedience to what he spoke to us and is speaking to us. Just because he said it yesterday and it's today, that doesn't mean that yesterday's requirement, command, advice, encourage already expired. We're still expected to obey and fulfill that request. So important for us, you know, sometimes we feel like there's just a season of dryness, or I don't know, just don't feel the Lord speaking to me. And maybe it's a good thing to just stop and ask the Lord, what is it, Lord? And he may bring to our mind, our memory, well, I'm still you know, it's like when we're using our GPS, we first have to make the first turn before we can get to the fifth instruction on what to do. So there's no way that we can follow those directions out of order. It has to be one step at a time in the right order for it to make sense, right? So I'm very ministered with this. Like, I just know that God is speaking to me personally, because sometimes you just want to know everything, all the instructions ahead of time, and God is just taking us one step at a time. And important to be sensitive to that and have that obedient heart, no matter how, what, where. God is always right, and he loves us so much, and he knows exactly what we need. When we are in God's hands, nothing is wasted. Nothing. Even maybe those days where David probably thought, why am I here taking care of these sheep? My brothers aren't. They're doing something else. You know, this is not as valuable. But when you are in God's hands, his plan with us is always a preparation process. And we love to think about the battle, but there has to be a preparation prior if we're in hopes of victory. And there is no way that we can have victory in any of our battles if God is not the one who's the commander in chief.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That's a good preaching, sister.
Amen.
Loving hearing that. And it reminds me too what I heard a minister say many years ago. It's like, if you have a hard time hearing from God, if God ain't speaking to you, then maybe you need to look at the last instruction he gave you.
There you go. Same thing. Nicely put.
Right.
Everything I said, and you said it in 2 seconds.
No, but you said it so much more nicely and kindly, you know, which was important to elaborate on that, because, you know, that is a reason why some people aren't hearing from God. You know, but at the same time, there's other reasons. You know, there's people just not haven't developed that, you know, this ability to discern, because there's a lot of confusion in their minds and things of that nature.
True.
But, you know, this podcast, somebody might say, what has this got to do with the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Well, it's the foundation, you might say, of power coming into a person's life, because really, what the baptism of the Holy Spirit will bring into a person's life is the power of God. Because like I said earlier in this podcast, that there's a difference between the presence of the Holy Spirit, which I will say this, it comes through the born-again experience.
Right.
And there is the power of God that comes through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I said this was a similar example with David, because most people know this, who know the story of David and Goliath, know he went out and he slew Goliath,
right?
But how did he do that? Well, we already talked about how God had chosen him, sent the prophet Samuel, who anointed him, poured a horn of oil on his head, and anointed him, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon him from that day forward.
Praise God.
And of course, we'll get into a little more of that story here in this podcast, and maybe even continuing in the second part, because I think it's important to understand, you know, even from the Old Testament, not, you know, simply only from the New Testament, but also from the Old Testament, how God anointed people. And I only used this when I taught about this last Sunday in the Spanish service, and you interpreted, sweetheart.
Powerful teaching.
It was a great, you know, a message, and you did an awesome job. And I only used David as the example from the Old Testament, because I read a lot of scriptures, and then I had a lot that I wanted to convey in the, you know, in the New Testament. And, you know, to do that all in one service, you know, versus what we got here is these 30-minute podcasts. Right. I can break it down into different sections here and do part 1, 2, 3, or whatever. So I'm going to kind of get close to closing this out here now, but I want to leave people with the thoughts here that you're never too young. Mm. You're never too old. It doesn't matter what other people think. You know, I mean, imagine what David had to go through with his brothers, you know, before he became famous.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
And even when he did, you know, kill Goliath. Maybe said, well, he just got lucky.
Right.
You know, who knows what someone might have thought, you know. Oh, wow, he got a lucky strike when he swung that that sling and he hit him. He got lucky. So, you know, and sometimes that's what some people will even say about you.
That's right.
You know, that, you know, you got a lucky break or whatever. No, you know God is leading you. Don't even consider what they're thinking, because if you allow people's opinions, people's thoughts to affect your ability to obey God and do his will, you're going to probably fail at accomplishing his will for your life, or at least all of his will. And I know what that's like. I know growing up was like with insecurity issues, and also seeing myself through the eyes of other people and feeling those thoughts. And sometimes I still, you know, have that struggle at times, you know, but the fact is you have to allow God's spirit that's in you to guide you.
That's right.
And I'll have to even say this, I'm going to admit this here on, through the public forum, that my beautiful, wonderful wife has been such an encouragement to me. I've had some seriously ups and downs, and many down times that where I just felt so oppressed and, dear Lord, I don't know how I'm going to make it. And God just sends her to comfort me and speak encouraging words. And it's not only that she gives me hugs and kisses, but those are beautiful too. But the encouragement, you know, the encouragement is something that, you know, you can't even, you can't quantify. You can't even put a value on it, because when someone God sends into your life to encourage you, that makes all the difference in the world. And I will leave this last part of this story here with the example of Peter. When he failed Jesus, when he denied Jesus that third time, and they said he went out and wept, he cried bitterly. He had to feel like the lowest of the lows, that he's the one who bragged the most, but yet one who failed the most. And he wasn't there for the Lord Jesus. But Jesus did not hold that against him. And if you failed the Lord, if you failed others, and you say, well, my past and my life is a failure, how could God possibly use me? Consider Peter. When he failed and cursed and said he doesn't know the man, and Jesus went to his death, that's got to impact your heart so severely that you can almost not recover from that.
That's right.
But when Jesus rose from the dead,
hallelujah,
he continued to encourage him. He told him, feed my lambs. He said, when you turn, encourage your brothers.
Hallelujah.
So he needed Peter to be that strong person that was going to help to encourage other people later. So you may be that person right
That's
now.
Right.
You feel like you need all the encouragement. And hopefully through our words here, even now, we're encouraging you, but we want you to know that God needs you and he can use you to encourage others. And if you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, just stay tuned. It's coming in Jesus' name. In the future podcasts, in the next two or three,
Amen.
You will know exactly what to do to get it.
Awesome. Such exciting, exciting words. More than words, this is more than just information. I'm telling you, this is life-changing. You will never ever be the same. And we want to extend the invitation not only for those who are in the expectation of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but listen, if you have never given your heart to Jesus, the one who died on the cross for you, today is the day. We cannot go into expecting the baptism of the Holy Spirit until we first give our heart to Jesus. That's when the Holy Spirit comes and abides in you. So we want to encourage you. Talk about encouraging. We want to encourage you, but this is with a sense of urgency. This is truly a matter of life or death, seriously. You have to give your heart to the Lord. He died on the cross to take your sins, because you cannot have life, much less abundant life, much less eternal life with God without Jesus. Only he can forgive your sins. And what a great thing he did. He offers you this great exchange. If you give him your sins, he gives you his life. And that is the best gift you can ever receive.
Amen. Thank you, sweetheart. That's so beautifully put. I couldn't do it better myself. So with that, we will conclude this first part of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we'll pick it up hopefully tomorrow or here soon. So God bless you, and have a good night or good morning wherever you're at.
Blessings. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.